Knights come in on the right wing. Here's Riley Smith in the slot. In front of shot, they score! That's Pacioretty! Right circle for Marchessault. He shoots, he scores! From the right dot. 3 goals in 4.5 minutes. 4-2 Vegas. Saved by Fleury, sliding across with his left shoulder. Knights ahead, Carrier on a break, down the slot on the backhand, he shoots, he scores! William Carrier, 5-0 Vegas!
And welcome in, good Monday to you, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Frank Harnish, Ryan the hockey guy who just scored a goal in the ceiling hockey here in the studio, and Chris Chapman all joining you today to kick off another week. Only 4 games left in January.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice thing, I think, right? I mean, it's nice for us because there'll be a little bit of downtime around the All-Star break for you and for me. I'm going to be celebrating an anniversary. And you are going to be celebrating a birthday.
Well, I'm going to be having a birthday. I don't know how much celebrating I'm going to be doing.
You're going to be celebrating a birthday. So,
I guess after last season, maybe I will be celebrating.
The break, All-Star break, and the bye week couldn't come at a better time, I think, for us. Because after that, it's all in, right? Like, there's no breaks at all.
And Chris has decided that since it's January, he's going to go to a cold weather climate to celebrate the break. So
is that the only reason that Stockholm was like an option for you? Because not a ton of people are looking to visit Stockholm in the middle of winter.
That's probably why my ticket was $350 round trip from San Francisco.
That's exactly what I was going with.
Because I was looking at going to London, but I couldn't make the flights work with my schedule. I wanted to go to a soccer game, and the only soccer game I could go to was on a Wednesday. And unfortunately, I couldn't get back to London in time to catch the flight on Thursday morning. So I looked around. I kicked around going to Bangkok and Manila, but I didn't have enough time to want to go to Asia for only a week. So I'll save that for the summer. But $350 round trip to Stockholm. Oslo was $350 as well, but I hear Oslo is unbelievably more expensive.
So you going to Stockholm in the end of January is kind of like the people that come to Vegas in July.
Yes, yes. I am a thrifty tourist, we'll put it that way.
Do you have a coat? Like a heavy coat?
I have a leather jacket, okay. And I have a couple sweatshirts. And believe it or not, you know, when I looked and I've talked to people from there, the weather actually doesn't get as cold as I thought it does. Like, I was expecting it to be in, like, the zeros and, like, 5 degrees. And apparently it's generally in the high 20s to mid-30s, which is cold.
Yeah, it's not that
bad. But it's not, like, bone-chilling cold.
So you can wear your sweet Sweden jacket in Sweden.
I have to ask the guys on the roster.
You don't have to ask
anything. No. I need to, because I don't want to be, like, the typical tourist who shows up and, you know, like the guy who wears the band of the band he's going to see, he wears that t-shirt. I don't want to be that guy.
I don't venture to guess that there are too many people like you that have that jacket that aren't Swedish that are going to get it when they go to Sweden. So I think you'll be fine.
They might just think you're a resident.
No, I'm too ugly to. I don't know if you've seen what the people in Stockholm look like.
I'm sure there's some ugly people that have moved there from other places.
That's true.
So not an actual Swede, just somebody. It's a transplant. Okay, it makes sense.
Just one of the ugly intruders.
Yes. Oh, typical American showing up with his ugly
his ugly face and his Sweden jacket trying to fit in.
I have a feeling I will be quite a bit heavier than most people my height there. And I'm guessing I will be quite a bit less attractive than most of the people my age there.
Is there a chance that you will not come back from Sweden? Like, you're just going to love it way too much that you cannot come back. You just have found your true calling being in Sweden.
I think there's a possibility, yeah.
Really?
And I won't mention names, but I was told that I might be pretty popular there, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes.
A lot of Swedish women looking for slump busters or what?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. Slump busters. Yes. Their favorite team is losing, so they got to find a slump buster. Djurgården may not be winning enough, so they got to find a slump buster. No, apparently Americans are quite popular in Stockholm from what I've been told.
All right.
So I'm, of course I will give you a report when I get back.
If you get back.
If I come back.
If you come back, yeah.
He'll come back.
I may fall in love with
him. No, he'll come back.
If I meet like a beautiful, tall, blonde Swede who, for whatever reason, falls for me, good chance I won't be back.
Are you going to bring the purple velvet jacket?
No, I will. I will not.
Come on.
I will not be hitting. See, the problem is, unfortunately, with the $350 round trip ticket, I don't get a checked bag.
Oh, no.
So I have to somehow fit 5 days worth of cold clothes in a cold weather place in a carry-on suitcase.
Okay, you're coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd have to come back for that.
Well, plus, he's got to come back to say goodbye to his family, and then I'm leaving, so I'm out of here.
I got to come back and say goodbye to you guys, too. But, yeah.
Kind of brings a tear to my eye.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
All right. Well, now that we've already recapped Chris's trip that he hasn't taken yet, we also have to recap a hockey game. We got a hockey game, a 4-3 win in overtime. It did not start out exactly great for the Vegas Golden Knights, but they showed a lot of heart. They showed a lot of grit. They had a goal that was overturned that some people think should have been, some people think shouldn't have been. I thought it shouldn't have been. I thought it was a good goal, but the referee said it wasn't, so they played on. And the interesting thing after Belmar scored that goal that wasn't a goal, it almost seemed like it pumped up Vegas, and Chicago was almost deflated. Like, it's like, okay, well, they didn't get that one, but, boy, they're all over it, and it almost seems like they're going to get one here.
Yeah, I think that it was just the Golden Knights put together 20 solid minutes in the third period, and Chicago ran out of steam a little bit. And, you know, when you control play and you're that dominant in the offensive zone for extended periods of time, it's really only a matter of time until you score. Now, the Golden Knights had to face a little bit of adversity in that game. They come down or they come back from a deficit, and then they've got to come back from a deficit and figure out a way to tie a game late. And they think they get it done, and then it's not to be. What are you going to do? Like, you have two choices. You could let that creep into your mind and forget about all the good that you did that period that led to that point and have nothing the rest of the way, or you can just stick with what you're doing, knowing that eventually you're going to break through. And if it didn't happen, you know, if they didn't tie the game up, at least you know you gave yourself every opportunity to win. And I think that's really all you can kind of gain from it. And, you know, I expect the details to be better in the first period and the second period, at least against Winnipeg, because they're going to have to be. Because, you know, against Winnipeg, that two-goal deficit could likely be 3 or 4 at the end of a first period if you're not careful. So,
plus, I think Connor Hellebuck's a little bit better goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Delia played well.
I thought he's actually played well since he's been in there for him. It's just like, and I still watch a lot of Chicago games. They do get leads in some games. They have a real hard time holding on to them.
Well, it's like we talked about, I think, in the postgame shows that, you know, you've got guys that aren't necessarily used to closing out games, because you look at the Chicago Blackhawks this year and you look at their record, they haven't really been in a position very often to close out games. So when you're not really prepared for the other team to throw everything at you in the last 12 to 15 minutes of a game, it can really put you back on your heels. And I think that's one of those things where you hear about learning how to win. And it sounds ridiculous saying that the Chicago Blackhawks need to learn how to win or relearn how to win when you have Taves and Kane and a bunch of guys, Keith and Seabrook, that have won 3 Stanley Cups. But the reality of the situation is there's a ton of guys on this roster that have not won a Stanley Cup. There are a ton of guys on this roster that have not had playoff success and don't know what it's like to close out a game and make sure that you get the 2 points you deserve. So you have to relearn it. And you've got a coach who's learning how to do it at the NHL level, too. So as ridiculous as it sounds, when you go through these cycles of being really, really good and then you're bad for a couple of years, you have to relearn all that stuff. And you can't look to just 4 guys to get it done for you either.
And after basically using Joel Quenneville and his system for a decade or so, now it's a new coach, new system, and so even the guys that do know how to win have to learn the new style of play, and like you said, the kids have to buy in, and they have to learn how to win with this, and I'm sure it's very frustrating for Kane and Taze and them, but they seem like they handle it pretty well. They do have some good youngsters there. I'm still not sure what Chicago does at the goaltending position, but this isn't Hawk Talk. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, so let's get on with some of the things from the Vegas Golden Knights, and we do have our play and our player of the game. And the play of the game, and this one could have gone a couple different directions. Obviously, Shea Theodore had the game-winning goal, but he doesn't have a chance to get that game winner. They don't get a chance to tie it up in the third if it's not for Ryan Carpenter and the goal that he scored towards the end, the very end of the second period, to give them that lead that was not insurmountable.
Lindbergh lifts it to center, hoping for Carpenter. It bounces in. Carpenter with Eakin. Carpenter delays. He shoots. He scores!
That's a monster goal.
Postage stamp from Ryan Carpenter, and the Knights are within one, under a minute to go in the second period. Fourth goal of the year for Ryan Carpenter.
Ryan Carpenter, to me, has been a different hockey player since Valentin Zhiekhov was picked up on waivers. He's been buzzing around the net. He's had more offensive touches. He's been more threatening in the offensive zone. He looks like a different player. He is trying to prove that he belongs on this team over a newcomer like Zhiekhov. He's trying to prove that 100%. And this is one of those goals where you can feel the momentum shift immediately. Chicago's up 3-1. All they've got to do is get through, 15, 20 seconds left in the second period. You go to the third period with a two-goal lead, especially throwing in the Belmar non-goal. The Golden Knights don't come back and tie this game without this goal. This is where the Chicago Blackhawks were defeated mentally, and the Golden Knights knew they could come back and tie this game.
Yeah, and they did just that. They tied it up even after the no goal. They get the tie. Then Theodore gets the goal in overtime. And again, we could have also had different choices for player of the game. But our player of the game, of course, brought to you by Sahara Coins and Precious Metals. With the price of gold low right now, this is the perfect time to buy. Sahara Coins and Precious Metals, big fans of the Vegas Golden Knights. Check them out at West Sahara and Tanea. That's West Sahara and Tanea. Our player of the game, well, he's not only the player of the game. You can make an argument right now that if there was an MVP for this team, it might be this gentleman. He's only played 40 games because he was out sometime. He leads the team in goals scored, tied with William Karlsson, leads the team in assists with 22, leads the team with points with 37, and has a plus 16, which is the highest plus minus on the team. If you've watched him at all this year, by now you know who I'm talking about. Big number 89, Alex Tuck, is our player of the game.
Right point, shot, save Delia, rebound, score! There you go. Alex Tuck on the doorstep with Stastny and Pacioretty alongside. And the Knights now trail 2-1. We're just 90 seconds into the second period.
So this is the line that's really been setting the tone. Whether it's Peary, whether it's Pacioretty playing with Stastny and Tuck, it's really been that line that has been at the middle, at the forefront of everything that's gone right lately for the Golden Knights. They didn't get a lot of pressure toward the front of the net in that first period against Chicago. And then what do you do in the second period? What do you do to open it up? You have Pacioretty and you have Tuck go straight to the net. Nate Schmidt gets the puck there, and you bang home a rebound. That's how you get yourself back into the game. Alex Tuck's on a 9-game point streak. The
longest in history.
In Golden Knights history, passing David Perron and Eric Halla. So you said arguably the MVP of this team. I would love to hear an argument for anybody else, because Alex Tuck, to me, in this being his second full year, the leaps and bounds that he has made this year are astounding. He has the potential to be the best player on this team for a very, very long time.
And when you mention the fact that this has been the line that's been driving it, you could also certainly make the argument that the engine of that line has been Alex Tuck. A lot of times when you look at a line, you look at the center guy creating everything. But with Alex Tuck, because he creates so much, because he goes in the corner, because he gets in front of the net, and that's one of the reasons why it hasn't mattered, whether it's been Cody Eakin, Paul Stastny, Brandon Peary, Max Petry, who's ever on that line with him. Tuck has been the one constant that just goes out there and just plays with the pedal to the metal every single time out there, and regardless of who's out there with him. I know Alex Tuck has given all the credit in the world to playing with the other guys out there, and rightfully so. He's a young player. He's learning from them. But they are also certainly the beneficiary of having Alex Tuck on that line.
Oh, for sure. And he gives you so many different looks. There's going to be consistency issues because he's a young kid and it's his second year, right? But once he figures out when to shoot versus when to pass and really kind of understands that a little bit more, because there are opportunities that he leaves on the table every now and again. We're nitpicking that. But when it comes to being a force in hockey games, Alex Tuck's right there. And it's his ability to carry the puck in through the neutral zone into the offensive zone. It's his ability to, if that's not a play that's available, dumping the puck in and winning a 50-50 puck. Right now, when it's Alex Tuch and anybody else, if it's a 50-50 puck, it's not 50-50 for Alex Tuch. It's 60-40, 65-35. I mean, he comes out of corners with more pucks than anybody else. He just is that good. He's too fast. He's too strong. He's too physical. And when you add all of that, what does it break down to? More offensive zone time, less time in your own defensive zone, and more opportunities to score. And that's why that line has been so good.
And the other thing that you mentioned there, too, that maybe he doesn't get enough credit for, but I think he does open up people's eyes when you watch him on a day-to-day basis like we get the opportunity to do. He's a better stick handler than a lot of people thought he was going to be, maybe than he thought he was going to be at the start. Sometimes bigger guys like that aren't as good at handling the puck a little bit, but he's learned how to use his size and everything, and he is pretty good and adept at bringing the puck into the zone and creating stuff.
Yeah, he is, and there are times, again, where his youth kind of shows through a little bit, and he'll go one-on-four and try to go through the middle and lose the puck when maybe just driving wide and making a simpler play is what's warranted. But, you know, when you really break it down to Alex Tuch and his effect on this team, I would be hard-pressed to find another player that's as vitally important to their success as Alex Tuch. Paul Stastny, you could argue. William Karlsson, I think, on the defensive end of the puck, you can argue. But really, when it comes to generating what is needed in the offensive zone, I don't know that it gets any better than Alex Tuch from a forecheck perspective, from a zone time perspective, from a chance perspective. He has been everything as advertised for the Golden Knights. And this is going to make him a very, very underpaid player once his contract extension kicks in.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, recapping the 4-3 overtime come-from-behind victory for Vegas in Chicago on Saturday. We're talking about that second line there, and Alex Tuch was our player of the game, but you could have also made an argument for Paul Stastny, who was on that line. And Gary Lawless had a chance to catch up with Stastny after the game, and he basically asked him about the win in Chicago.
Coming off a tough loss against San Jose, but you know, Turk made a good message for the game where we just, you don't want to get in the habit of losing back-to-back games on any winning team that I've been on. That's always been important to bounce back. And tough start. You know, more than anything, I think they just played an unpredictable game where, you know, they're all you know, sometimes a lot of those guys have nothing to lose. There's a lot of young guys, and you know, they're playing super aggressive. So I think once we kind of cleaned up our turnovers in the neutral D zone, I think we started playing better. And then, you know, from the second period on, we kind of played our game. And then I think the thing that kind of changed the game for us was Carpenter's goal was really big for us.
Now the goal gets taken off the board in the third, and you sagged for a little bit, but then got another push. How big was that?
Yeah, I mean, how that gets taken back blows my mind. I mean, you know, you watch it in slow-mo, it doesn't matter. Like, he's not kicking it. He's stopping, making a reaction play. So that, you know, that's karma. You know what I mean? They're going to take that away. That line deserved that goal. So, you know, I think, like you said, we were disappointed a little bit, but then we just kept going to them, and then we got what we deserved.
And I agree. I do think they got what they deserve. And you know what? In a strange kind of way, maybe that Belmar goal, maybe that was the best thing that happened in Chicago, that they took it off, because that might be the only reason they finally got a point against the Vegas Golden Knights. 0-5-1 now in the six meetings with Vegas in Chicago. I'm sure that Blackhawk fans were not expecting that when this expansion team entered the league last season.
Maybe not, but I mean, it's the reality. There are two organizations going in different directions. I mean, Chicago's rebuilding and trying to figure out how to put a winning hockey team back on the ice, and the Golden Knights have been a winning hockey team since day one. George McPhee has done a great job assembling what the Golden Knights are today, and a team that went to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season and looks poised to go back to the playoffs in their second season. So there's really not much you can ask for from the Golden Knights as far as what they've done in their short time. But, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks, again, you pay a price for winning Stanley Cups. I mean, that's just what it is. The Kings paid a price. The Chicago Blackhawks have paid a price. I mean, one team that's kind of figured it out a little bit is the Pittsburgh Penguins, but even they paid a price after their first Stanley Cup and not really being able to get back to where they wanted to be until 8-9 years later. So everyone pays a price for winning Stanley Cups. You immediately have to overpay players. And that's what's happened with Chicago, and it's unfortunate because you can't necessarily keep these dynasty teams together. But I think most fans would take three Stanley Cups in 5 years and a couple of down years here or there.
Yeah, and my friends back in Chicago that I've talked to have basically said that, although you can tell that it really eats at them that Chicago's not playing like they did. But you know what? Like, the reality is, when you win a Stanley Cup, everybody wants a raise. And with a hard salary cap, everybody cannot get a raise. You have to lose players, and it happens every time. That's where the management has to come to the forefront and try to find quality replacements for the people. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, and kind of on the same line of thinking in that regard, a lot of people wanted William Karlsson locked into a long-term deal at a relatively, for him, high cap hit based on one season. And George McPhee took a different approach. They came to an agreement on a one-year deal, right? And they're testing the waters, trying to find that clarity. If George McPhee was like Stan Bowman, he would have probably overpaid for term on William Karlsson after year one. You have to understand that just because a guy puts in for 43 goals and looks like he's going to be the next superstar of this hockey club, it doesn't mean that that's the formula that you need come year three, four, five, six. So just because you want a player under contract for a long time at whatever price you think they're worth, it doesn't always mean it's the right move at that particular moment for the organization.
No, absolutely. And just to expand on that a little bit more, a lot of those same people are people that were upset when Perron and James Neal left. Well, I think with Pacioretty and Stastny in their place, I think George McPhee did a pretty good job in that one.
Well, I think with Stastny particularly, you're seeing just how vital he is to the development of Alex Tuch and just what he brings to the table in that regard. And he really solidifies that center position for you. You've got Karlsson, you've got Stastny, you've got Eakin, you've got Belmar. I mean, those are four really, really good centers in the right spot. And, you know, no disrespect to Eric Halla, but Eric Halla has not been a center as long as Paul Stastny has in the NHL, and he hasn't been as successful as Paul Stastny's been in the NHL. So you upgrade there, you get a little bit better defense from your second line. Once everyone is healthy, you're probably going to be able to turn that third line into a consistent scoring threat. This team is better now than they were last year when they went to the final, when everyone's healthy. We just haven't seen it yet.
No, yeah. And again, I'm not throwing any aspersions on Neal and Perron either, but the reality is Stastny and Pacioretty, you can bring players like that in that play the full 200-foot game. It's a pretty good situation, and Vegas is in a good situation. If they can now just get healthy, it will be interesting to see what this lineup looks like and what they can play like when that is the case. Hopefully we see that before the end of the season. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Now, some people out there are probably going, wait a second, how do you get an overtime game-winning goal and that's not your play of the game? Well, Carpenter's goal set the momentum. As you heard Stastny talk about there, as you heard the players after the game, they all mentioned how that was really the pinnacle point in the game when they thought that they could now come back because it was only a one-goal deficit. That's why we picked that for our play of the game. However, Gary Lawless did have a chance to catch up with the guy that scored that overtime game winner, Shea Theodore, after the game and talk about the game, the win in Chicago.
Big goal by Ryan Carpenter to get you back in the game at the end of the second. And how big a win is this?
Yeah, that was big. You know, Carpy's goal gets him, you know, a little bit of momentum going into the third, and I thought that was great. You know, I thought we never gave up in that third either.
You love overtime. You think you're one of the best skaters out there, and you don't get tired, and you showed that in OT tonight. You took advantage of your legs.
Yeah, you know, Peary made a good play cutting back, and, you know, sometimes you can catch him, you know, trying to gap up too much, and I kind of just use my speed.
Big game coming up Tuesday, so this was a good win to get your confidence before you head into Winnipeg.
Definitely. You know, after kind of, you know, losing our streak, you know, coming back on the road, we want to get back to it, and I thought tonight we did a great job.
So there you have it. If you were questioning our decision for play of the game, what's the first thing that they talked about? It was Carpenter's goal.
Yeah, and in fairness to Shea Theodore, obviously, winning the game and getting the game winner is nice, but, I mean, that goal was all on Colin Dealey. I mean, that was bad. It was bad, bad goaltending.
Did it just trick him because he was looking for something else, and because Theodore didn't maybe get the shot that he was necessarily looking for, it completely screwed him up?
I think it's a goalie that's a little bit too excited in the moment and completely overplays a puck that has no business going in, really, if we're being honest. And we've seen Nikita Kucherov do something similar on breakaways where he comes in, he fakes like he's going to take a shot, doesn't take the shot, doesn't touch the puck, and it fools goalies. And again, no disrespect to Shea Theodore. That's not what he was going for. It just seemed to work out that way.
Yeah. And Kucherov, like you said, he's done it on breakaways and in penalty shots and that. When he does it, it is what he's actually attempting to do.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I mean, you take him any way you can get him, right? Like, you're Shea Theodore, you're going to take that all day long. But the reality of the situation is that should not have been a goal that was allowed by Colin Delia in that game.
No, I would definitely completely agree with you on that one. But it was, and Vegas wins, and they get a big 2 points, and an important 2 points as well, because Winnipeg playing pretty well of late. It's a tough place to play. Winnipeg not happy because the last time they saw the Vegas Golden Knights, they saw the team that knocked them out of the playoffs. Now they're going to be facing Paul Stastny. I'm sure they're not too happy about that situation. And both of these things come on the heels of not having Dustin Byfuglien in the lineup.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I remember some of the quotes that were coming out of the locker room from Winnipeg, and specifically Connor Hellebuck, about how they were the better team. In spite of the fact that the Golden Knights won the series, they were the better team, and they didn't see anything special, and there wasn't anything that they needed to adjust to or change.
They basically said puck luck after every single loss. Well, it's not bouncing our way, but it's going to bounce our way because we're just having bad puck luck. Yeah, it lucked them right out of the playoffs is what it did.
And, I mean, you can, I suppose, have bad puck luck for 5 straight games, but you also were outplayed by a team that outplayed you. So I hope for Winnipeg's sake they've kind of gone back to the drawing board and figured out how to change their fortune, because if they're relying on puck luck, I don't know that they're going to win the hockey game. It's going to be fun. It's a barometer game for sure. It's a measuring stick game for the Golden Knights to see how they stack up against the Winnipeg Jets. But it's the same thing for the Jets. It's a barometer game for them as well. And without Dustin Byfuglien, it'll be interesting to see how their defense kind of responds to the forecheck pressure of the Golden Knights and whether or not the Golden Knights are able to close that gap on the forecheck and force them into some bad turnovers.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. In the second segment, we're going to be looking at some news around the league, including a couple teams in the Pacific Division looking to make moves, and one move that is not being made by a team that's a little bit of a head-scratcher here. But I do want to get to one more interview real quick as well, because Gerard Gallant also spoke after the game in Chicago. And as you can imagine, Turk was happy with the win, but I'm not sure that he would have been that disappointed even if the loss, because of the way that they did finish. But getting the win certainly put him in an even more jovial mood.
Yeah, we weren't too happy with our first period. I mean, Chicago came out and played a real good first period, and we get down 2-0. So it definitely played a lot better the second and third period. And it was a big, big 2 points, obviously, for us. So real happy with them.
Paul Stastny called it karma that after the goal was pulled off that you still went and got the equalizer and then the win.
That usually happens, and thank God it happened tonight because we were disappointed. We thought it should have been a good goal, but anyway, it happens. They make the call in Toronto, and so you move on. But good for a team to bounce back and get that late goal and then win it in overtime.
Shea Theodore, he likes playing in overtime. He thinks that he can really take advantage of his conditioning and of his speed at that point in the game.
Well, the way he skates, and he's seen it was a forward back there. I think it was a forward, I'm not even sure, but he caught the guy going forward a little bit, and he's got great acceleration. He beat him wide, and fortunately, he put it between the goalie's legs, so it was a huge goal for a group.
I know every win is important, but does a win like this feel a little better? Like, you have I know you're not a big guy for the fist pump on the bench, but you get a little bit of an extra jolt after a win like this?
No, it feels good. Like I said, we battled back, and for a lot of that third period, Chicago was playing real well. They hemmed us in a little bit. We didn't get many chances, and they didn't get many either, but they were just playing a tight game, and they're working hard, and they're playing a good game over there, so we found a way to get that big win.
Paul Stastny, does he continue to show you what a special player he is?
No surprise. He plays a good two-way game every night, and he moves the puck real well, and he's a strong player for us.
Yeah, and certainly Stastny is a strong player. And again, I understand Gary asking the question, but, I mean, Turk remembers Stastny's father. He's not surprised whatsoever that Paul Stastny is the player he is. I'm sure that he's absolutely ecstatic about having him there. And it will be interesting, and I'm certainly going to watch it the rest of the season and for seasons beyond that. With Alex Tuch, as good as he is now, and you mentioned that sometimes he does still go in once in a while, 1-on-3 or 1-on-4 or something. He makes players that young players make. That's why they call it a ceiling. His ceiling is incredibly high. He's already arguably the best player on the team, at least stat-wise he is right now. But with him continuing to learn with Stastny and Pacioretty, wow. I mean, the future looks bright, but this season still looks pretty bright, too. Although they've dropped to third place in the division, I mean, it's still a three-horse race. But, wow, Calgary just scores goals at an incredible rate.
Calgary's really good. And, you know, the crazy thing about Alex Tuck is you mentioned ceiling. As good of a year as he's having, I don't know that this is his ceiling.
Oh, I don't think it is.
So he's only going to get better. And that means you're only going to get better as an organization, as a team.
And they got him locked up for how long?
Quite a while.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Hope they have tickets to give away again tomorrow on the show. So because we have a big three-game homestand after tomorrow's game. By the way, tomorrow you can join us over at Lindo Michoacan on Desert Inn just east of Eastern. When we come back, we'll take a look at some other news around the league, including the Anaheim Ducks. A lot of people are wondering why the coach is still there. Well, the coach is still going to be there. However, a player recently has been traded away. And I'm kind of scratching my head about that decision as well. Lots more to get to here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman here. Getting ready for a game tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets after yet another victory for the Vegas Golden Knights. Currently standing third in the Pacific Division, but certainly right in the hunt with Calgary and San Jose. Other teams in the division, well, I guess right now you'd have to say that they're probably trying to fight it out and see if somebody can make it in one of the wild card spots. Not that it's out of the realm of possibility that they could still get in the hunt for one of the top three spots, but right now that would be a heck of a hot streak going. Maybe as hot of a hot streak as Anaheim is on a cold streak right now.
11 straight games without a win.
0-7-4, I believe, yeah.
So 4 points out of a possible 22. That's good. That's good.
It's good for the rest of the teams in the Pacific.
So, general manager Bob Murray of the Anaheim Ducks had this to say after the latest failure by the Anaheim Ducks, their 11th straight loss. At this time, I am not considering a coaching change. I am more focused on our players, specifically with who is going to step up in this situation. Okay.
And obviously they did not think that one player was going to be stepping up.
No. Yeah. Hey, I want guys that are going to wear their hearts on their sleeve, put it all on the line every single time they go out there. So the only logical thing for me to do is to trade a heart and soul guy like Andrew Cogliano to the Dallas Stars for Devin Shore. Now, Cogliano's fast. He's a little bit older.
31.
Than Devin Shore is, but I would argue that Devin Shore's ceiling is probably higher than whatever you're going to get out of Cogliano. But if you're the general manager and you are saying to your fan base, I want the guys in the room to battle, and then you trade away probably the guy that battles harder than anyone else in the locker room, what message are you sending?
And not only that battles like that, but also is durable. He's missed 2 games in 12 years.
Yeah, I want to say they were both due to suspension, actually. But I don't understand it. I don't understand why there's an aversion to firing Randy Carlyle. Like, it doesn't work. And you were winning hockey games because you have one of the best goalies in the league in John Gibson. But if you continue to allow grade A scoring chance after grade A scoring chance after grade A scoring chance in a game, and you have zero interest in trying to help out your all-star goalie, and then you've got no way of playing the new brand of NHL where you've got to move the puck up quickly and you've got to play with a little bit of speed, like, I don't understand why you're going with antiquated coaching when it is clear that it's not working. And then you want your players to respond to a guy that has lost the room. Like, there's no way Randy Carlyle has any type of handle on the Ducks players and what they're doing on the ice. Because if he did, they wouldn't lose 11 games in a row. I'm sorry, there is a winnable game at some point in 11 straight games.
Especially when you have John Gibson in, and they've actually blown leads.
I mean, up 3-0 on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then they were up 4-3 going into the third period and laid an egg. An egg in the third period. I get it's the Penguins, but the Penguins the next day went into Los Angeles and got their butts kicked 5-2. Like, you cannot excuse the lack of attention to detail by the coaching staff of this team, and yet you're going to throw your players under the bus. Because why? Because you don't want to do your job? Be a general manager. Fire the coach. Get a new set of eyes to look at this roster and see if there's anything that you can redeem from this season.
By the way, I want to throw this in real quick, too. You're absolutely right about Cogliano. The two games he missed was due to a two-game suspension that he had last season.
Yeah, there was. It was funny. It was an illegal hit to the head, and a lot of people were crying foul because he had the Iron Man streak going, and they wanted to say, well, he still has the Iron Man streak going. Well, no, he doesn't, because he missed two games when he was healthy because he hit somebody in the head. But that's just how much Andrew Cogliano cares about winning.
Yeah, well, we'll see what he does when he faces the Ducks.
Well, no, we'll see what he does and how he can kind of rub off on that Dallas Stars room that plays like bleeping bleep bleep.
So, wham, wham.
Yeah. How many less posts are the Dallas Stars going to hit now that they have a heart and soul guy like Andrew Cogliano in the room?
Tyler Seguin might start putting in the back of the net, which he's actually started doing ever since there. As much as you want to talk about that tirade that they went on, he's played better since
then. See, that's like the worst thing ever. Because Jim Leitz, while it was a fantastic article and one of the greatest things to ever come out of hockey, like Jim Leitz saying these guys need to try harder didn't open some Pandora's box as to now they're able to score and the team is winning hockey games. Like, that's, his comments have nothing to do with the fact that this team is winning. But
coincidentally,
now it's being seen as the catalyst when it had nothing to do with it. Like, hey, Tyler Seguin, I think you need to try harder. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. I'm going to try harder, Jim. Thank you. And now Tyler Sagan's trying harder. No, the pucks are just going in. And I'm like, I would love to see the Dallas Stars realize that, like, they're kind of validating the comments from their CEO, Jim Leitz, and then just all decide to lose hockey games just so that everyone could say, oh, maybe it didn't have anything to do with Jim Leitz.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. I want to get to one other team in the division real quick here, too.
Okay.
Because the Edmonton Oilers are reported, the organization is on a, quote, full court press, end quote, to find forward help, according to TSN's Ryan Rashog. Now, here's one of the problems that Edmonton's facing.
Uh-huh.
Edmonton, you know how much salary cap space they have available to try to find somebody?
Not much.
$51,371.
Well, I mean, if you can find somebody dumb enough to take Milan Lucic off your hands, then maybe, just maybe, you can get something done.
Yeah, so they don't even have anywhere near the minimum salary cap place to bring somebody in right now. So obviously they'd have to do trades or whatever, but they say that they're very solid at the center position with McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, and Draisaitl. However, they certainly need some other help.
Yeah, right, because Draisaitl is in play on the wing with Connor McDavid when they actually need to score goals.
And again, that's what this article says, but I was going to bring that up as well. It says it in the article that they're happy with their center position, although they list the top line as Draisaitl, McDavid, and Ty Reddy. So, I mean, it's because that's what it is.
I mean,
and it'd be like Vegas saying, oh, we're solid at the center position, we have six of them. Well, yeah, because half of them are playing wing.
God, Edmonton's just an absolute dumpster fire. They really are.
And the Ken Hitchcock early effect has kind of leveled off.
I mean, you need more than Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And it's so funny to me that now there's an impetus on trying to find forward depth for this team when a few years ago they had Taylor Hall and Jordan Eberle and guys that could put the puck in the back of the net. But Taylor Hall was an idiot and a knucklehead and wasn't professional. So you just ship him off to New Jersey for Adam Larson, who is not a top pairing defenseman. So you lose an incredible offensive talent for not even a top pair defenseman. And then you watch that guy go on to have an MVP season. And Jordan Eberle is a serviceable player, but You know, he just never showed up in the big moments. So you got to trade him. You got to move on there. And every trade has failed miserably for the Edmonton Oilers. And they signed Milan Lucic to a long, ridiculous contract.
All right, real quick, too. It says that although the cap situation could make it tough, the first-round pick, a goaltender, maybe a young developing forward, likely all in play to try to get that already developed forward that they're looking for, apparently. So we'll keep an eye on that one, but not shedding any tears for Edmonton right now because they're in the Pacific, and you know what? I'd like to see them kind of stay, although it is hard to believe that a team with Connor McDavid could be that bad.
And just really, really quickly, if you're looking for an offensive player, maybe Jesse Puljujärvi, who projects to be a very good, pretty good offensive player, maybe you give him an actual look, and you don't have Ken Hitchcock micromanage his time because he's not that great defensively. Maybe you just need to get everything into a room and say, you know what, we need to score more goals. Is Ken Hitchcock the guy that's going to help us get that done? I don't know.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, back to wrap it up. And when we do today, coming back, we're going to play a little segment giving you a taste of what we deal with sometimes with all the cliches that some of these players say. And a lot of players actually saying, yeah, they go to the cliches intentionally. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Whoever the goalie is played awesome. You know, it's pretty, everyone kind of rolls through the lines and, you know, it just kind of fits.
When you lose, it's always like, and it's not being fake, it's just, it's behind us now, you lost, but my go-to is always like, all right, well, learn from our mistakes and just be ready to go for the next one.
Gotta put this one right behind us right away, you know, and think about the next one. It's very important.
We know we've got better. We know we've got better. That's like every loss, you always say that. We know we've got better. You know, we expect more out of ourselves. We can go out there and we can perform better.
You know, we got to move on. We got to get better. We got to go review the game. And
they played well. We didn't. It is what it is. Yeah, maybe we lost tonight, but we like the way we played. We got to build on this.
Just continue to get better, that sort of thing.
We didn't play well enough tonight. We got to be better. And go on and on.
All right, welcome back. There's a taste of what we get sometimes. That last one there was Evander Kane. He had a smile on his face just talking about it, and he's like, yeah, and basically that was NHL players talking about the cliches they use, how they practice and they work on them. And Anders Lee actually said, look, every single interview, everything I ever say is all a cliche.
Got to get the puck in deep. Win a couple battles, work hard.
Well, one of the players
get the puck to the dangerous areas. We didn't get to the puck to the dangerous areas. I mean, we've seen it.
We got to keep it in the offensive zone because then it's not in the defensive zone as much. And another thing that we always hear too: the goalie, we let him down. Our goalie played fantastic. Every goalie's always played fantastic for every team out there.
We're gonna put this show behind us. Focus on the next one.
All right, tomorrow, getting ready for the Winnipeg game. Stick around. The Dr. T.C. Martin's up next. Thanks for listening. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey.